Exodus chapter 29, we've been recently looking at the priesthood as we've been going through the book of Exodus. And here in our study, we primarily have seen the adornings of the priests, those vestures, those garments that God entailed or laid out to Moses that they were to wear. And tonight in chapter 29, we come to the actual ordination service or ordination ceremony of Aaron and his sons. And this was the ceremony that they went through in preparing them for service and for ministry. I want to read here tonight, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 18. It says, "And this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them for ministering to me as priest. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and you shall make them of wheat flour. And you shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. And then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod in the breastplate, and gird him with intricately woven band of the ephod. And you shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. And you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, and Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them, and the priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statue. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons, and you shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. And then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with the fire outside the camp, and it is a sin offering. And you shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it around on the altar. And then you shall cut the ram in pieces, and wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, and it is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord." Now, because we are celebrating communion tonight, I feel that the Lord would have us to really take some time and just a little bit to wait upon the Lord in worship, to wait upon Him in our time of worship and just drawing near to Him. And because of that, I'm going to make my comments very brief tonight as we go through this section. And there's really two main things that I think the Lord would have us to see as we look at this chapter concerning the ordaining of Aaron and his sons and the application of it to us. Because as we've noted in our past studies, we are a royal priesthood. We have been called by the Lord to be His representatives. The priest was to represent God before the people and the people before God. And that's what we've been called to do as believers here today, living in this time and in this era. We are a royal priesthood, Peter says, a holy priesthood unto the Lord. We are His representatives, called to be used by Him. And so I want us to note two main things. First of all, I want us to note that everything that we've just read here concerning Aaron and his sons, everything was being done to Aaron and his sons, not by them. As it came to their time of consecration, their time of ordaining, to prepare them, to usher them into this priestly ministry, everything that we just noted here was being done to them, not by them. They were not doing something that earned them the right to minister. There was something being done to them, though, that prepared them to minister and be used by the Lord. You know, many people think that for God to choose them, they must be, you know, successful in getting their lives together. That they need to become a scholar, or they need to get a degree, or they need to, you know, work some things out of their life in order for God to be able to use them. But our being used by the Lord is solely a matter of His grace. In calling us, and it's His unmerited, unearned favor being showered upon us. And it's through Him thoroughly equipping us for any task that He would call us to. And that's what we see here. This wasn't something Aaron and his sons were doing, but it was something that was being done to them. And there's seven things that we see here initially that were being done to them to prepare them as priests. Now, we want to notice these seven things that separate them. First of all, we see in verses 1 through 3 that provision was made for them. Provision was made for them. An offering was to be offered, and a sacrifice was to be made. And we read there in verse 10 and verse 15 that when the sacrifice was brought there before them, that they were to place their hands upon that sacrifice as a form of identifying that, hey, this sacrifice here is being the substitute for my sins. So they would place their hands there upon the head of that animal, that ram, that bull. And it was signifying that their sins, in a sense, were transferred to that animal. And they were identifying that animal, in a sense, was paying the price for them. The application to us, I think, is obvious. That Jesus Christ is our substitute offering. He's the one that we identify with, that He came and paid the price for our sins. He took upon Himself the judgment that we deserved. And tonight, as we partake of these elements, the bread and the cup, they speak to us very clearly of the substitutionary sacrificial gift that Jesus gave in Himself, that He was paying the price for our sins, that He was taking upon Himself the judgment that we deserve. So He was doing that work of being the substitute and dying in our place. Secondly, we notice in verse 4 that they were brought to the door. They were brought to the door, the entryway of the tabernacle. We've studied already that this was the only way that you could get in to the tabernacle, is you had to come to the door. You had to come through the door. There was no other entryway in. Jesus declared in John chapter 10 that He was the door. That He was the only way that a person could have entrance into a relationship with God. Jesus being the door. They were brought, notice, it says, to the door. Jesus said in John chapter 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. How did we come to Christ? God began to work in our hearts in drawing us to Christ by His Spirit, convicting us of our sin, convicting us of our need of a Savior. And then we were brought there by the Lord to the door, to that place of seeing Christ, seeing His gift, seeing His sacrifice. The third thing we notice again in verse 4 is that there was a cleansing that took place. They were washed. In our coming to Christ also, we are washed. This speaks of regeneration. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, we're told, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We, in coming to the door, coming face to face with Christ and placing our faith in Him, were regenerated, washed and cleansed by that work of His blood there upon the cross. The fourth thing we see in verses 5 and 6 is that they were divinely clothed. Now, we've already talked in our previous study last week and the week before about these garments and what each one of them, the ephod, the breastplate, the turban, the robes that they put on, what all of them stood for. And I'm not going to go into that again tonight. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get the tape of that. But suffice it to say, notice there that they were divinely clothed by the Lord. And so to us, in coming to Christ, we were divinely clothed. Those garments of filth, those garments of sin, those garments that condemned us, those garments that were filthy, that just, you know, depicted all of our wickedness, were taken away from us, and there the Lord placed upon us His robes of righteousness, His garments of salvation and truth and peace. And the fifth thing we see is that they were anointed. They were anointed with oil. Oil speaks clearly in the Scripture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this speaks, I think, very clearly of that anointing of the Holy Spirit, where Zechariah declared in Zechariah 4:6 that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's how we are able to minister, not in our strength, not in our ingenuity, not in our ability, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. There is an empowering that must accompany our calling. And without that anointing of the Spirit, we cannot be effective. Whether you're teaching a Sunday school class, whether you're desiring to be a witness in the world, whether you're leading worship, whatever it might be, for you to be effective, there has to be that working of the Spirit moving through your life and energizing and empowering that work that you are involved in. The apostles, think about them. They're a classic example of this. Jesus told them that they would be His witnesses when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, when they were baptized in the Spirit. So they were anointed. The sixth thing that we see is that they were marked by the blood. Notice verse 19. It says, "And you shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons, and shall put their hands on the head of the ram. And then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of the right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed or consecrated, and his sons' garments with him." Here we see the blood from this sacrifice was to be placed, interestingly, upon their right ear, their right thumb, and the right big toe. The blood placed upon the right ear and the right thumb and the right big toe, it speaks to us of two things. It speaks to us, first of all, of possession. And secondly, it speaks to us of covering. First of all, of possession. It marked them. It marked them as belonging to the Lord. That they belong to Him. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verses 19 and 20, Paul speaking, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Paul says very clearly that we have been bought with a price, that we have been purchased by what? The precious, perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood stands as a covering upon us. It marks us as God's possession. That you are not your own. That your body, it doesn't belong to you, but every part of you belongs to the Lord. The ears, it symbolizes the things that priest would hear. The hands signify his activity, the work that he would be involved in, the things that he would do. The big toe symbolizes his walk, how he walked and where he would go. All of those things in our life being covered by the blood of Christ, being possessed, that it belongs to him. But secondly, also covering. It speaks of covering. You see, the blood was applied before they went into service, but also after they came out. Why? Well, before It's very obvious. We can't even think or conceive or try to be used by the Lord without first being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to have our sin removed. We need to have our sin cleansed, the removing of the stench and the stain of sin. And then when you are through ministering, you also need the blood. Because after ministering, after being used by the Lord, there's one of two things that can happen. You can become puffed up or you can become put down. If you are effective in your service and that stepping out, if God used you, there can be that tendency to think, wow, I really have it together. I must be doing things right, and you can get puffed up. But if you just blew it, in that sharing or that study or whatever it was that you were involved in, maybe that place you were leading worship or whatever it might be, it just didn't go well. There can be that tendency, and the devil loves to come in after this and just begin to hammer you. Ah, you're just a knucklehead. And you need the blood. You need to know the blood of Jesus Christ is covering you. The blood needs to be applied in either case. The blood of Jesus Christ needs to be applied in my life as a minister because I often miss the mark. To my ears, because I don't hear the Lord as clearly, oftentimes as I would like. There's those times I was talking to someone today about it's exciting when you go and you seek the Lord and you're drawing near to Him and you're seeking Him for direction and you sense, you know, that God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you get that confirmation in the Scripture and you step out. And it's awesome to see in those times what He does and how He works. And you can look back and go, wow, that was great. I was hearing correctly from the Lord. But there are those times, and if you've been involved in ministering and serving, you've experienced this where you stepped out and you thought, man, I was hearing right. And you get out there and whatever you're doing, and it's not happening. It's not working. And you realize, well, I must have heard wrong. But yeah, those times can be frustrating, but you learn from them. It's exciting, though. But I need the blood to cover me in those times because I don't always hear correctly. I need my hands covered by the blood of Jesus Christ because I don't always reach out the way that I should. I don't always reach out to the needs that I see. And I need the blood of Jesus Christ covering my walk because I don't always walk as straightly as I would like to walk. Like you, I stumble at times in my walking there with the Lord. So the blood was covering them. The seventh thing that I want you to see is here in verses 22 through 25. Notice it says, "And also you shall take the fat of the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys and the fat on them and the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread and one cake made with oil and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that it is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. And you shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. And it is an offering made by fire to the Lord." Now we are going to look at all of these offerings in detail in just about a month and a half when we get into the book of Leviticus. But tonight I just want to draw your attention and make note of this next thing here that we see was done to them. And it's this, that their hands were filled. The hands of Aaron came there to the door of the tabernacle empty, but now their hands were being filled. The offering was placed there in their hands. And then their hands were taken and waved before the Lord as a wave offering to Him. Notice that the Lord was the one who filled their hands. They did not fill their own. Now the application for us is what we have has been given to us by the Lord. What we have, the blessings that we have, the gifts that we've been given, they've all been given to us by the Lord. John the Baptist declared in John chapter 3, he said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven." And James said in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So their hands were filled there by the Lord. But notice this, what was given to them, they gave back to the Lord. And that's always the way that it needs to be. The gift that we have been given, the blessings, they need to be given back to the Lord. That's our calling. So first of all, we see the first main thing, that these things were not done by them, but they were things that were done for them. They were things that were done to them to prepare them to be ministers. And all of those things have been done to us through Christ to prepare us to be God's priest in this earth, in this world, at this time, to be His witnesses. But now I want you to notice a second thing, a second main thing, and this was the only thing that was done by them. Notice verse 26. And then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised. We're going to talk about these in Leviticus. Of that which is for Aaron and that which is for his sons, and it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. For it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that it is their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. Just a side note on that. I don't have time to get into this, but notice it says that, and the holy garments of Aaron shall be what? His sons. Aaron's holy garments would be his sons. I think there's an application there for us who are fathers. That the son who becomes priest in his place, verse 30, shall put them on 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. And then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And they shall eat those things which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them, because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or the bread remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire, and it shall be eaten. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. And thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them, and you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. And you shall cleanse the altar when you shall make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. Here we see the only thing that they were to do in this whole ceremony. Everything else is being done to them, but here we see that after the sacrifice was offered up, that Aaron and his sons were to eat part of it. What's the significance of this? Well, the laying on of their hands upon the sacrifice was for identification. The eating of the sacrifice was for appropriation. It was for appropriation of everything that that sacrifice stood for. That their sins were covered. That God in His love had saved them. But the eating of the sacrifice was also to nourish them. It was to strengthen them. And it's interesting that this is the only part of this ceremony that the priest continually repeated. As they ministered in their priestly ministry, they would eat of the sacrifices. And it was that which nourished them and strengthened them. The application again for us is Jesus is not only the saving sacrifice for our sins, but He is the sustaining power for our lives. He's not just the one who saves us, but He is the one who sustains us. He is the one who keeps us. I love what Charles Spurgeon writes concerning this. Listen closely. He says, "Let not this distinction be forgotten. The eating of the sacrifice is not intended to give life, for no dead man can eat, but to sustain life, which is there already. A believing look at Christ makes you live, but the spiritual life must be fed and sustained, and the feeding of that life is explained by our Savior in these words. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day, for My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed." And Spurgeon writes, "Spiritual meat and spiritual drink to support the spiritual life which God has given." It sustained them. Now, what's the significance of this leading into our time of communion? You see, they had already been atoned for. The sacrifice was already offered. They had been brought to the door. They had been washed. They had been clothed. They had been anointed. They had been gifted. But here they were told to eat. To eat of the sacrifice. Now, as they continued, as I mentioned before, in this priestly ministry, this was the only part of the ceremony that they continually repeated. The priest would continue to eat of the sacrifices. Now, the picture to me in here is awesome. Because you see, we have been saved. And we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been regenerated through the work of Christ upon the cross and our placing our faith in Him. We have been robed in His righteousness, in His salvation. And we have been anointed. And we have been gifted. And God has given us His Son to be our Savior, but He is to be much more than that. For He is to be our life. And therefore, we are to continually partake of Him. We are to continually draw near to Him. He is our Savior, yes, but He is also our substance. He is our life. He is our Savior, yes, but He is also our satisfaction. And for that reason, we are to draw near to Him. We are to come close to Him. We are to eat daily of Jesus as we come before Him, our morning manna, the living Word. As we come before Him daily to partake and to feed of the Scriptures. But not just in our daily time of devotion, but also in communion, like we're going to do tonight. And just like tonight, as we come before the table, we partake of the elements, the bread and the cup. We are identifying with the fact that Christ was our substitute, that He died in our place. But it's to be much more than that. It's not just a time of identifying that, oh yes, Jesus is my Savior. He paid the price for my sins. He died in my place. But it is also a time, as we partake of the bread and the cup, of appropriation. Of appropriating everything that that sacrifice there upon the cross stands for. When we partake of the bread and the cup, we are feeding upon the Father's love demonstrated to us in the giving of His Son. As we partake of the bread and the cup, we are feeding upon the very fact that Jesus was the only one who could come and give His life. He was the perfect man. He was deity in the flesh. As we come and partake tonight of the bread and the cup, we do so in appropriation of His death. And the fact that it is the point of entry for us into a relationship with God. As we come before the table tonight and we partake of the bread and the cup, we are, in doing so, we are appropriating the very fact and truth that when Jesus died on the cross, as Paul declared in Romans, we died with Him. We were buried with him in the grave, and all of the list of the requirements, the sins, the things that held a guilty sign above our heads were nailed to the cross with Christ and buried there in the tomb. That our old man was buried with him. It is the appropriation of who Jesus is in our life, that it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. It is the appropriation of who Jesus is in the sense that it's in him that we stand against the attacks of the devil. That it is in him that we shine, and only in him that we shine as lights in this dark world. And that it's only through him that we can minister. It is the appropriation of the truth that without him, we can do nothing. It's the declaring of the heart of John the Baptist, who said, I must decrease that he would increase. And so as we partake of the bread and the cup in a symbolic way, we're partaking of the very life of Jesus and saying, Lord, I need more of you in me. I need more of you and less of me to be acted out and carried out in my life. And so tonight, as we come before the table, I want you to focus. I want you to be thinking. This is not just a time of identification, but it's a time of appropriation. It's a time of saying, Lord, as I partake of this, I'm identifying with what you did for me, but I'm also identifying with the fact that you are alive, that you want to live in me. And so, Lord, I want to walk in that power and in that strength that you supply. Let's wrap up the last part of this, and then we'll move into this time. Verse 38. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs of the first year. Day by day, continually, one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb you shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour, mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil, and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with the grain offering and the drink offering, as in the morning, for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations, at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And so I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priest. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and I may dwell among them, and I am the Lord their God. The Lord declares here that this was to be a continual thing that they would do. Jesus said to his disciples, do this often in remembrance of me. What we're doing tonight is to be a continual thing that we do. A continual thing of identifying and appropriating the death and the life of Christ for us. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the giving of your Son. We are thankful, Lord, for the sacrifice, the provision that you have provided for us. Lord, we are thankful that as we desire to be your priests, to be used by you, that it's not about something that we do, but it's what you have done. But Lord, we also understand our need to eat of you, to daily come before you in communion and intimacy and devotion as we dig into the word, as we eat of your words, as we desire of your life. But also in times like this tonight, when we can come in appropriation of who you are and what you have done and what it means in our life as we partake of these elements. I'd like everybody just to keep their head bowed and their eyes closed for a minute. Some of you perhaps here tonight are in a place where you've been reluctant in your walk with the Lord. You've been reluctant in your service or your making yourself available to the Lord because you've been focused on your own inability. I want to encourage you tonight, see what Christ has done. See what Christ has done for you. The life, His life, available to you. To equip you, to empower you, to walk with you. And tonight as you come to the table, eat of Him. And say, Lord, here I am. Surrendering. Lord, I want to make myself available to You. Others, maybe you are those who have been trying too hard in the energy of your own flesh to be that great Christian, to solve some situation that you find yourself in, some dilemma, some problem. And you've been just sweating and you've been striving and you've been just trying in your energy to bring it together. And it hasn't been happening. I encourage you tonight to see who you are in Him. To see the blood of Jesus Christ covering you. The life of Jesus indwelling you by His Spirit. And all that Christ is and all that Christ represented here when He was on the earth. Of His grace and His truth and His love. That it's right now available to you. Through His Spirit. And eat of Him tonight in appropriation of that fact. Just by a show of hands. And again, this is between you and the Lord, but I want to pray for you. If you are in that place right now where you've just been just wrestling, struggling in your walk with the Lord, but you've been doing it in your own energy and in your own strength, and you sit here tonight just frustrated because you just can't get it right. You just can't pull it together. Or maybe there's a situation that has just been like a mountain in your life and it's been hovering, a trial, and you've been trying to tackle that thing in your own ingenuity, in your own strength, in your own just rationale. And you're at that place where you're just exhausted. If you're in either one of those places tonight, just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you guys. Father, I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, it's so easy for us to wrestle in the flesh. Lord, I pray tonight, as they come to the table, Lord, that they would appropriate the life, the power, the blessing that is available in You. As they would yield and surrender themselves to You this night, that You would strengthen them. And Lord, that You would begin to help them to walk, that You would begin to lead them in their steps. That they would begin to discover, Lord, tonight, that Your blood covers those failures. That Your blood covers those stumblings. That Your blood covers those times when we veer off the path. Lord, bless them, strengthen them tonight. Maybe you're in that place tonight where you have never even yet looked to the Lord. You've never came to the door. You've never opened up your heart to Him as Savior. I encourage you tonight. Paul warned in Corinthians about partaking of communion in an unworthy manner, which basically is to say that you recognize what Jesus Christ did for you, but you don't want to surrender your life to Him. I encourage you here tonight, if you have yet to surrender your heart to the Lord and you want to, that right now, just in the quietness of your heart, you'd say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that my sin has separated me from You. I admit that I need you. And so tonight, Lord, I turn from my sin and I turn to you. And I desire that you would equip me and strengthen me to follow after you. Come into my heart and make it your home. In Jesus' name, amen.